Father God, we come before you. We bless your holy name. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. I pray, Father God, for the message this morning to be directed by your Holy Spirit for the building up of your church. Lord, as we look at the subject, Lord, and maybe things will come to our mind, memories and whatnot, but I pray that we could see ourselves through your eyes. That we are called by you, each and every one that is here, Lord. And that we are special to you, valuable in your eyes. Be with us, direct us, and guide us in our study this morning, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Have your Bibles with you, or your you can go to Bible Gateway on your phone, and we're using the English Standard Version or the ESV. We're in Philippians this morning, and the title of the message is Leaving the Past Behind. I know that this is probably one of the hardest things for us to do sometimes, is to leave behind mistakes we've made, or maybe even great things that we've done, good things that we've done, because sometimes they can be a hindrance to us moving forward. How many of you guys believe that? Yeah, and maybe you've even seen that where, and I've seen it in my own life, where our memories, sometimes they can hinder us. And so I kind of want to talk about that today, because that's what Paul addresses. The Apostle Paul is in the text in Philippians. He already talked about his qualifications and these false teachers were in the church and everything, and he kind of went down this list of qualifications, but he says, hey, I consider that all rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Amen? And so, when we're looking at this, let's take a look at verses 12 through 16. Let's look at what he's saying about the past and what we need to do and focus on the future. He says this from verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything, you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Amen? What's he talking about there? Well, there's several things I want to talk about in regards to the past. And one is the stronghold of nostalgia. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold, you can think about a stronghold is like a fortress. In ancient battles, a stronghold would be something that would prevent an army from moving forward, from advancing into that foreign kingdom, right? That's what a stronghold is. From a spiritual standpoint, a stronghold in our life is something that prevents us from moving forward and advancing the kingdom of God. So a stronghold in my life is something that is preventing me from doing what God wants me to do. And so what about nostalgia? Nostalgia kind of sounds, just reminiscing, right? Nostalgia, it's like when we all sit around, you know, have family party, we talk about things that happened in the past. Oh, that was great, that was fun. And so we reminisce, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with remembering the past. We ought to do that. But sometimes that nostalgia, we can romanticize the past. We can think about not necessarily the bad things, but the good things. Maybe you've been in ministry. Maybe you've been in ministry 5, 10, 20 years. You know, or you've done things in the church. And maybe you're reminiscing, oh man, I wish the good old days when we ministered in the name of the Lord and that was so cool what we did back then. Oh, I wish I could get back to that. Or I wish I could do this ministry. I wish I could do that ministry. And so as Christians, we've got a, it's kind of subtle, but it happens. And I'm speaking to you guys. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because I've been doing ministry for 34 years, and I can tell you, it's easy to remember the past, and you romanticize the good stuff, and you somehow you can edit out the hard things, right? It's kind of weird because normally when we look at other stuff, we tend to emphasize, some people emphasize the negative things in the past, but sometimes we can romanticize the past. And we think, wow, it was so awesome how God moved back then. Well, what is he doing in our life now? And what's really bad is if you feel that, Paul, I'm kind of retiring from ministry. You don't retire from the calling. There's no retirement from the call of God. I mean, you might retire from a job. Maybe God might have something new for you. But this is the thing, is that we've got to realize sometimes it's an experience that we had. Maybe we had a negative experience and we're cynical about doing a particular kind of ministry. Oh, this is the way it always is. Oh, this is what always happens. You ever say that? I don't know if I want to do that again, because, and we have this, we can have a cynical view as well of the past. We got to realize something. There's a proverb talks about an empty stable gathers no income. And what that means is a stable is where you hold animals, right? Now, a stable with animals is pretty clean, right? Because you don't have to clean it. Everything stays where it's at. Everything is nice and neat and clean. The straw stays where it's at. And you don't have to clean it. But if you got animals in that stable, what happens? They poop. Right? They make a mess. But if you're having animals in there, you're a farmer, whatever, they're making some income for you, right? So you have income coming in. You know, it's hard work. And the ministry can be messy, right? Ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people. But people are messy. Amen? We're all messy. We've all got issues. Everybody wants to know how to get closer to God. Everybody wants to figure out the spiritual life thing and how to grow and stuff. And everybody's at a different place in their journey. And that can be a little hard. That can be a little messy because we have to learn patience with each other, right? How many of you guys, you know, like Ross talked about politics and everything, you see all these stories about people that are just rude now in restaurants, you know, throwing drinks at people and whatever because of political affiliation, all kinds of crazy stuff. Totally rude, don't care about anybody else, but we're called to be the opposite of that, amen? And so, so people are looking to us as children of God, as those who are called by the name of the Lord, and wondering if we're any different. And that's the thing, but we got to realize, this is all for God, it's not about me. The other thing is, we get too caught up in the past, then this is what happens. We got to be careful to don't let where you've been determine where you're going. How many of you guys know that? It's always been this way. We've always done it this way. We've never done it that way before. Let me tell you something about life. Things change. I mean, I know that's real deep, right? Things change. The church changes. Now, the Word of God never changes. Amen? The Word of God remains the same. The gospel remains the same. You know, you can count on Jesus. He remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way we minister might shift. We do not have pipe organs. We wouldn't know where to put them. It would make breakdown very difficult. We change the music, you know. Certain things change, but the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God never change. And things also change how God wants to use us individually. Maybe he used you to minister in a particular way in the past, but he wants to do something different with you. And maybe you're not open yet. Well, I don't know. I don't want to do that because this way is more comfortable for me. How long ago was that? 5, 10, 20 years ago, right? Man, I remember the Lord. Yeah, but what's going on with you now? I mean, God's not going to love you any less, right? He loves you. But are you available? Have you made yourself available to be used by him now? Maybe in a little different way. In a maybe uncomfortable way. In a way that might challenge you to grow in your spirit. Because God's been dealing with me in that. You know, sometimes we get defeated before we take our first step because we imagine what it will be like if we fail. What if I fail, right? what if I start this ministry, or what if I volunteer for this ministry and I look stupid, or I do something dumb, or I come on, right? Oh my gosh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to serve. Or, you know, we get all this stuff coming into our head. But we can't look behind us. We can't look at what we've done in the past as a determination of our future, right? Because we'll do one or two things. Either we'll look in the past and we'll be confident and we'll go, I got this, which is a bad thing to do, because you don't got this. You need to be open to what God's doing. Or you look in the past and go, I've never done this. I don't think I can. And then you're only looking at what you in the flesh can do. But remember, we're talking about the Spirit of God who resides in you. Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird that we believe that Jesus is in us? But we have a hard time believing that he can do Jesus kind of things through us. Yeah? It's like, you mean I can walk up and touch somebody and they'd be healed? Yeah, that could happen. If he wants to do that, are you willing though? Right? You think maybe I can preach the gospel? Maybe. You never know. Start sharing with your coworkers. Open your mouth. You might be surprised at what comes out. You might be going, did I read those scriptures? Did I memorize that? What did I say? And you might be surprised, because the Holy Spirit, it says in his word that he will bring to remembrance at that particular time what you need to know. Because remember, it's not all about your brain. It's about the God who resides inside that empowers you to touch other people's lives. We have to have faith and rely on him, not on our own abilities. That's what the problem with the church today is. We keep resting on what we've known, or we rest on our own abilities instead of trusting in the supernatural, trusting in God to just use us. It's a faith thing. So don't let where you've been determine where you're going. Now, here's another one. We all come to Jesus with a past. I do. You do. We all come to him with a past. And sometimes we don't feel worthy of that upward call that Paul talks about, right? We think about what we've done, or we think about how we've acted, and we come into a church and we're kind of wondering, well, where do we fit in all this? Oh, I'm just going to sit here and listen. I don't know if I'm worthy to serve. You know what? None of us are worthy to serve. I'm not worthy to serve as a pastor, okay? The only thing that makes any of us worthy is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for our sins, and by his grace that he has saved us. And because of what he has done, he has made us worthy. The word is called sanctification, to sanctify us. It means he makes us, he cleanses us, sets us apart, he makes us worthy to do what he's called us to do. Even with our issues, even with things we might be struggling with, but he'll work those things out. They're good? So we all come with the past. I remember I used to, when I was a teenager, I would go to these conferences, or not really conferences, there were camps, there were speakers, and these guys, man, they had these testimonies. It's, oh man, this guy, I was in a gang and God got me out, or I was on drugs and God delivered me, and there were these radical testimonies, radical changes, right? And I remember, I don't know, 15, 16, having a conversation with my mom. Mom, I don't really have a testimony. What do you mean? Because, I mean, I've grown up in a Christian family. I've attended church my whole life. I've never got caught up addicted to drugs and, you know, all the things that these guys got delivered from. How am I going to tell people about Jesus if I haven't gone through anything and I don't have a testimony? Oh, I wish I would have never said that. I tell you, man, I remember those words, and I was like, if I could take them back, no! Because I had not yet understood what it meant to become an adult. And then, when I was out of my mom and dad's house, and I was free, and I could make my own choices. See, I when I was young, I was 18, and I did evangelism. I would preach the gospel, play rock music, and Christian rock band. We'd go all over the places. And people look at me like, oh, I'm Dave's Mr. Spiritual. He's a spiritual leader. Dave's Mr. Spiritual. And I'm like, and Dave fell the hardest. Because he thought, oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't feel I was prideful. But when I discovered all the things that were before me that I could do, and no one was saying no, no one was stopping me. And I indulged in what I indulged in. And I remember feeling shame. You know, I hooked up with this girl and was living with her, and, you know, and we met in church. We didn't meet in bars. We met in church. And then, but I felt so guilty, and I just stopped going. I just surf every morning. You know, I couldn't go to church. I was like, I can't go back there. I can't do that. And there was a time of darkness in my life. And I wish I could say it was like, bam, it was just the lights went on. But no. You know, how many of you guys know, like, sometimes you see people, their testimony is like, oh, they had to fall, yeah, to fall really hard, and then God rescued them, and they got back up. But how many of you guys know testimonies aren't always like that? Sometimes it's not a fall. Sometimes it's a stumble, a trip, and a roll, and a slide, and then you like kind of get back up and go, okay, I'm done getting beat up here. And mine was a little bit like that. It took about 8 years of denying the Lord. I don't want to do ministry. I don't want to do that. It's like, ah, you know. I want a fast car. I want a hot wife. And, I was like, yeah, I love Jesus. You know, that's cool. Jesus is cool. You know, I know the Bible. I remember my mom telling me, she saw this thing happening in my life, and she said, what about all the scriptures you memorized? I go, what scriptures I memorized? You see, the darkness that I had walked into blinded my mind. And the devil had even veiled from my mind, my memory of the scriptures that I had memorized. I could not remember. It was like there was a block. King, I looked into darkness, and I felt it. It was real. Devil's real, gang. It's not a personification of evil. It's a metaphor. It's a dude that is really bad, and he's got minions, and they're not little yellow guys with smiley faces, man. You know, demons are horrible, and a lot of it is stuff up here, things in the mind, things that enter your mind that are like I would never think that. Yeah, because it's not from you. But my life got affected in such a way. And when I moved over here, I mean, everything fell apart, you know. Everything fell apart. But I thank Jesus Christ. Because if he did not shake me, I don't know where I would be today. But I was shaken. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm done running. I won't run anymore. And when I've decided to give my life to Jesus again and say, whatever you want, I said, I will give you the title deed to my life. Whatever you want to do with me, it's okay. Go ahead. And then the party really started. Because he showed me that, you know, I actually had one of those honest-to-goodness, burning bush type of wild Bible-type visions, and I saw myself here preaching, and I was like, nah. And then my pastor called like 3 hours later and told me, about what God wanted to do with me. And I was like, Dave, you're going to preach you're going to lead the church, you're going to preach in a month, so you need to get ready. As a preacher in front of 800 people in a month, I'd never delivered a sermon. I knew my stuff. And he's all, Dave, are you okay? Because I was about to drop the phone. It's like going, that's crazy. I was like about 22 years ago. It's been a wild ride. But God is amazing. Amen? He's amazing. He can take you wherever you have been, and even right now, wherever you are, and he can change you. He can change you. Don't believe what these guys say in the world. God can do anything. You know, shame. How many of you guys know shame can stop you? Shame makes us feel unworthy. Shame makes you feel it'll never get better. Shame makes you feel that even if God's already forgiven you, that you're not worthy of forgiveness. Shame says sometimes things, you know, there's shame that we have for things that happen to us that aren't even our fault. Somebody did something to you, and it's not even your fault, but you feel shame. How messed up is that? But in God's eyes, you're beautiful. You're valuable. So we have that stuff in our head. Let me tell you something about feelings. Do you know what? Feelings aren't facts. Your feelings do not determine your identity. Jesus does. Amen? Let me say that again. Your feelings don't determine your identity. Jesus does. It's what God says that matters. It's what his word says that matters. And I am loved. I'm a precious child of God. The fact that the God of the universe would come down to earth, would die on the cross for me and suffer all that he had suffered is not a small thing. And to think, being unworthy, that he was willing to do this for me should be something in the forefront of my mind. Hitler's minister of propaganda once said that if you tell a lie often enough and loud enough, it becomes accepted as truth. And you've heard it said that the devil is a liar, right? Jesus said that when the devil lies, he's speaking his native language. And there are a lot of lies that are propagated today. A lot. Talking about the past, the lie we've all been told. Is that acting out on our feelings is the highest form of freedom. Right? If it feels good, why shouldn't I? I want to be happy. I want to feel good. And so we chase what feels good. Right? And most of your modern psychology, most of your modern secular psychology is based on this kind of, you know, they talk about stigma. And say, you know, what the problem is you've got to, you know, just be true to yourself. And you hear these phrases. So you got to be true to yourself. You know, and if you want to get rid of depression, if you want to be happy, if you want to, you know, be free. If you want to feel free, you got to get rid of stigma. And what is stigma? It's stigma is caused by, it's those religious people. It's the Bible. That Bible, it's just written by men. It's not, they say it's the word of God. It's not. It's just written by people a long time ago. And they have a bunch of rules. And those rules just make you feel guilty. And so if we just get rid of that, if we get rid of that teaching and we just, you know what, that's just all men. Men wrote that. And we think, it's all good. Just get rid of the rules and then I won't feel guilty anymore. Right? And that's this idea of stigma. If I stop believing in objective truth, if I stop believing that the Bible is the word of God and what it says is important, if I stop, if I think I can just make up my own rules. How many of you guys think you can make up your own morality? Let me give you a test. If you're in a dorm room and in your college, you're at college, and your roommate has a radio, right? And they're playing their radio. Well, let's just say it's an iPad. Okay, let's up it. They got an iPad, right? And they got speakers and all this stuff, and it's really awesome, Bluetooth. And you just take it, and you walk away. You just walk out of there. Because to you, you're saying, you know what? I don't believe this is stealing. I'm just going to take it for me because I need it. It's going to make me feel good. How many of you guys think that your roommate will be okay with that? Think about it. What's the first thing? Hey, you can't do that. Why? I'm just taking it because I want it so I can take it. No, you can't take that. That's wrong. Don't put your moral judgments on me. Well, it's mine. That's not what I believe. I believe in community property. And I've just annexed your iPad and your Bluetooth and everything. It's now mine. But you can't do that because it's wrong. Who are you to say what's wrong? And see, when you don't have objective morals, like morals that just stand true for all time and all eternity, what happens is you have chaos. You're making rules, they're making rules, everybody's making their own rules, and nobody's living by any rules. You know what it's called? It's called anarchy. And it doesn't work. But you see, the lie we're all told is, go with my feelings. Whatever I feel is true. And that's a lie, gang. If I just get rid of the stigma, how's that working? How's that working? People decide, well, I'm not going to live by the Bible. I'm not going to live by rules anymore. And then I'm just going to go with whatever makes me happy. And it's like chasing a carrot on a stick. You ever see that? You know, chasing a carrot on a stick. Carrot on a stick. You will never get it. You're always trying to chase down that next feeling, the next high, or whatever it is. I've seen people that have tried to live this way. And the guilt is still there. You still feel the guilt. But I don't believe in the Bible. I'm an atheist, but you still feel guilt. Why, if I'm an atheist, do I still feel guilt? What is going wrong? Because you've accepted a lie. Because your guilt remains, and the only one who can wash it is Jesus Christ. That's why. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you have sinned. But if you accept what he has done for you, he will wash that sin away, give you his spirit, and empower you to live in a totally different way. Gang, we got to stop accepting that, you know, feelings are truth and feelings are fact. Feelings can be overcome by the power of Jesus Christ. Feelings are flesh. Feelings are soulish. But the power is walking into the other room called my spirit and saying, hello, Jesus, and embracing him. Hey, let's hang out. And you begin to live differently. And it's not through that, I just want to get counseling or my feelings will go away. Well, sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it's an everyday decision to come to Jesus and give it to him. Amen? Is this hard to hear? Because there are things that I struggle with in my life. But I know this, when I get a truth into me from the Word of God, and I get a truth about my identity of who I am, I'm able to walk in a way where I'm surprised that I can overcome the flesh. I can overcome my temptations. Isn't that cool? You don't have to look at porn, dudes and gals. You don't have to look at pornography. You don't have to drink to get drunk. You don't have to follow your urges. That's not who you are. You can have power over it. It's not magical. It's real. It's real. It's just every day. Like I said, you've got a dark room with the soul. You've got the light room that's your spirit. Every day, and that spirit is embodied. There, Jesus is there with you. And you walk in and you spend, Jesus, I just want to be with you today. I want to be in your word. That's why you get people around you in the church. You get into the Word of God. I wish I could say there's a sin switch in your psyche that you can flip and, oh, it's all good. I'm not tempted anymore. That's the problem with our world in Western society, is we keep thinking that the American Psychological Association is going to fix us, but they can't fix anything because people are shooting up people all over the place, and we're wondering, where's the rage, where's the violence coming from? Because there's a spiritual root. There is violence in the heavenly realms. And the only solution is the people of God begin to pray and begin to believe that we can master the flesh. Not in perfection, don't get me wrong. But what does Paul mean when I said I beat my body daily? He's saying, hey, it's a struggle. But I don't give up. I go, oh my gosh. Right? You can have victory. I want to share a scripture with you. But first, I want to encourage you, reject the world's labels and step into your identity in Christ. Right? Oh my gosh. We have so many labels. I don't have time to go through them. Right? We label ourselves by what we've went through, or we label ourselves by our experience, or we label ourselves by all these different things, you know. And one of the biggest lies is, you know, we've got people that label themselves as gay. Just because you're attracted to the same sex doesn't mean you're gay. It just means that you're attracted to the same sex. It's been around for thousands of years. It's not an immutable trait, but it's something that God can work with you. He can work in you. You know what? Whatever your attraction is, whatever things you're dealing with, whatever, just bring it to the feet of Jesus and get Jesus people around you that love you for who you are right now, for what you're going through right now, with no strings attached. Amen? It'll help you through it. We put too much stock in our feelings, gang. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are not an indicator of truth. Feelings are not my identity. My identity is Christ, and I begin to walk in my identity. I begin to walk as a Christian. I begin to say, enough of this. I'm walking in victory, you know, and I'm not going to feed my mind. I'm not going to feed my ears. I'm not going to listen to this junk. I'm not going to look at stuff that's going to make it harder for me. Why torture myself? And as I begin to walk, and I begin to have freedom, I go, this is so cool. I enjoy worship. When I sing, it's really touching my heart. When I open the Bible, it's really touching my heart. The reason that you're having a hard time reading the Bible and getting into worship is because you're in bondage to some things. But when you begin to walk in that direction, and you can get people around you to help you, you begin to enjoy the presence of the Lord more. Amen? The flesh versus spirit. Man, let's walk in the spirit. Amen? This is one of my favorite identity verses. I'll leave you with this today. Jesus. No? Did I not put it in there? That's on me. Sorry, sweetie. It's my daughter back there. So, okay, so I'll read it from here. Must have been late. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in Christ, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know how special you are? That God gave himself for you. For you. That he loves you. We say Jesus loves you. It's not a flippant thing. It's a very special, very intimate thing. The creator of the universe wants a connection with the one he created. The ones that rebelled. But he's saying, come to me. And we push him away. Go, no, 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 no. No, no, that's okay. No, no, it's not okay. I want to be close to you. And this has been the struggle of the universe. Is to get reconciled, get back with our Creator, We're the ones that push away, not him. You're here today because he loves you and he's drawn you. And he's saying, I want more time with you. Amen. Is that good? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Oh God. Lord, I right now I know hearts are being stirred. And Lord, whatever the struggles are, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, as there's just guilt coming from the devil, there's condemnation. I just rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. I push that away. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would show how precious and how special each and every person here is to you. And Lord, wherever they're at, wherever their struggle is, no matter what they have been told, the lies that they have learned, oh God, would you just show them that you're greater than the lies? That you're more powerful than all those lies? And would you touch them this morning? Open their eyes. Open their heart. The Word of God doesn't talk about making a decision. It talks about repent. Repentance is a decision. It's a decision to walk away from this world and to walk with Jesus. And if you want to repent and turn away from this world, it's a wonderful thing. And I want to offer this. I'm willing to pray with you personally after service. My wife can pray with you. We want to get together with you because you're special. You're more than a number. I don't want to count hands. You're more than a number. You're special to God, and so you're special to me. And I just pray right now, whatever's in your heart, just receive from the Lord. Receive his love. Lord, we praise you. We thank you our identity is in you. And we thank you that you're a God who pursues us. And I pray in your mighty name, Lord, that we would go from this place a little stronger, feeling a little lighter, a little more of your presence. A little more peace in our hearts. May your grace sustain us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, God bless you guys. You have a wonderful week.